Hello, friends. Welcome to the Brave Writer Podcast. This is Julie Bogart, your host. This season is brand new, and our focus is on all the questions that you've been asking me in social media so that I can give you answers in a live format, a way that I can chat at length, not just answer in a quick comment on Instagram or Facebook. So welcome to this season. For those who are new, my name is Julie Bogart. I am the founder of a company called Brave Writer and the author of a best-selling book called The Brave Learner. I homeschooled my five kids who are now all grown-ups, and I await with great joy and anticipation the birth of my first grandchild at the end of January in 2020. I homeschooled those five kids for 17 years. Some of them did high school in the traditional way at a public school. One of them didn't, and another one did a hybrid experience. They've all done college. Four of them completed. One of them took classes that interested him, and today is the highest paid of the five kids, working as a self-taught computer programmer. As a writer, I got my experience early. My own mother has written 70, that is 70 books through traditional publishing. And as I came up through the ranks in my early adulthood, I worked as a ghostwriter, as someone who helped doctoral students get their dissertations prepared for defense, and as a magazine editor and freelance writer. By the time I was homeschooling my kids, I discovered, because people kept telling me, that there were writing programs that were not successfully teaching writing to children. One of my good friends invited me to give a class to her and a few other homeschooling parents to show them what I knew about writing that might be different than what they were doing with their children. Very quickly, we figured out that the way professionals approach writing and the way educators approach writing couldn't be more different. In fact, professional writers start with a person, not with a subject. That's why we are Brave Writer and not Brave Writing. But listen, I'm getting ahead of myself. Today's episode is especially near and dear to my heart. We are now in the year 2020. When I started Brave Writer, it was January of 2000. 2020 felt eons away. And all of a sudden, now here I am, 20 years later, with grown children and a massive company to run. I thought it would be fun, especially for those of you unfamiliar with Brave Writer or who only know us in the most recent iteration, to hear the story of how I went from a homeschooling mother to a solopreneur to a CEO of a going concern, this little company that could. So join me, will you, as we celebrate 2020, our 20th year in business. There's got to be some enchanted magic to the triad of 20s greeting Brave Writer in this new year. January 2020 is Brave Writer's 20th anniversary. My little idea that could, which launched itself into the World Wide Web at the dawn of the new millennium. Some of you might remember the panic on New Year's Eve of 1999. We were hoarding gallons of water in our basements and worried that our computers were about to be wiped clean of all that important information we'd been storing since, 1995. As it turned out, nothing dire took place on our computers. We were able to use the water to water all of our blossoming daffodils in, February or March. And I launched my first online writing class conducted by email, filling it to capacity. We were off. No website and under a different name. Back then, the name of my company was called The Writing Compass. Now, you should know, I never liked that name, but I liked the notion of there being this world that you enter when you become a writer. I wanted it to feel like you were on an adventure, not like you were sitting down at this confined desk. And so I was hoping to give guidance, you know, to be the compass that would help you find those pathways, those trails of adventure. Even so, the word writing sort of sounds more like a subject. And I think inside that was part of what made me not like the name. Even so, we went ahead and registered the website because you gotta start somewhere. And we got that website set up 6 months later. So the first 6 months of Brave Writer, we had no website. And yet every class I taught filled instantly. I self-published The Writer's Jungle, the core curriculum, the main manual of Brave Writer in like February or March of 2000. There was this large homeschool company run by some of my acquaintances who had shown interest in publishing it. They told me that they thought it would be a great supplement to their program. But then they devastated me by changing their mind. And I had this momentary feeling of loss, like, I wonder if I can do this without the endorsement and backing of a big company. And to his credit, my husband at the time said to me, Julie, we will look back on this day as the best thing to have ever happened to you. You should go out on your own and you should reach the people who want what you're offering, not be beholden to this other company. It was crushing to feel the sting of that rejection, but I was bolstered by John's faith in me. And I would learn that building a business is precious hard work of the best kind. My personal phone number has been the business phone number for, I think it's 17 of the 20 years. I spoke to thousands of customers personally on my own phone. I answered every email in the early years. I wrote and taught almost all the classes. I hired teachers pretty early on, but I was actively involved getting to know the people who were attracted to what Brave Writer had to offer. And that was invaluable to me. So if you're in that early stage of developing a company, just know that working on it directly is the way that you grow the message and the connection to the people who are drawn to your work. Working on my ideas without the boost of someone else's endorsement then proved to be the most important work experience of my life. And I'm completely grateful for that today. Brave Writer is not the story of an entrepreneur in search of a good idea. You know, I was a part of a social media networking group for years in Cincinnati. And everyone there was an entrepreneur working in the marketing and social media space. They would say to me, oh, what's your company? And I would say, Brave Writer. They'd ask what that was. And I'd say, it's a company that teaches writing to homeschoolers. And to a person, the question I got back was, how did you think of that? Because the entrepreneurial mindset is, I want to start a business. I'm going to find the right business to start to make a lot of money. In my life, it sort of happened the other way around. I found a good idea. Brave Writer is the good idea. It's creating conditions for children to experience writing as pleasurable, that their writing is sourced in their ideas, their vocabulary, their passions, their depth of understanding. My heart from the beginning was to alter the story people tell about writing, that it's difficult, that it's a requirement, so you'd better get to it, that the accuracy of your grammar usage and spelling skills define the quality of your ideas. I don't agree with that, and I wanted to challenge those assumptions. Instead, I hoped parents and kids would discover that the writer lives within, and that writer is best accessed through play, interest, affirmation, collaboration, help, kindness, all the things you do naturally for every other area of growth in your child's life. So January of 2000 saw 25 families take a leap to join my inaugural writing class. They paid $25 each, and the class lasted 8 weeks. We had something like 40 kids in that class, and I literally still have emails of the free writes and their questions and my answers stored on my computer. Sometimes when I go back and reread them, I'm so deeply moved by how dialogical that platform and that format was. It gave parents a chance to be a part of that growth opportunity, which then shaped the way I saw online education for the rest of the 20 years. These parents discovered the power of tapping into their children's natural writing voices. What was really cool is that many of these families in Ohio, the ones who knew me personally and locally, started recommending me for speaking engagements with the statewide organization here in Ohio. So first I got to speak at the Cincinnati Home Educators organization and then at CHEO, the statewide convention in June of 2000. I delivered several talks and sold the newly minted Writer's Jungle, my product. I'll never forget Cindy Clark, who works for me now, and her good friend, Paula Horton, two local homeschooling friends, offered to help me assemble the components of the Writer's Jungle into the binders that we sold at my booth at my first convention. We were making like a circle around the dining room table, just inserting chapter after chapter. It was really incredible. In late May, my husband at the time slapped together a website landing page and we registered the name of the company as writingcompass.com. And then we, you know, put that on the cover of the binder so everybody would know where to go right away. I spoke in my first workshop in Columbus, Ohio, to a room of about 150 people. I was 38 years old. Maybe I was 37. I don't know. Anyway, I found myself saying with dramatic emphasis, "We want free writers. We want brave writers." And then like, bam, just like that, I knew. My brain was saying, "That's the name of your company," while I was still talking to the audience. And it was already too late. I had already announced writingcompass.com. It was on all the programs, on all my books, on all my marketing materials. And yet, I marched straight home and told John right away, "By the way, I'm buying bravewriter.com and you need to help me set up a reroute because nobody knows that that's going to be the name of my company." Now, we debated it a little bit, but I decided if I didn't do it, then it would never happen. And so we did. And frankly, best decision ever. The thing of it is, Brave Writer actually represents the message. I'm interested in human beings, not in the subject called writing. Writers, we're not brave writing. And courage is what it takes to risk sharing a self through written communication. Courage is what it takes to nourish and nurture that in a loved one or a child. So for me, Brave Writer has just been one of those serendipitous, amazing names that came to me in a moment of inspiration. And of course, I had just included the quote from Bill Stout in the Writer's Jungle that says, "Whether or not you write well, write bravely." And I think that just wormed its way into my being and came out at that most opportune of moments. So that's how we came up with the name. We sold 45 copies of The Writer's Jungle that weekend at the convention, and my classes filled to capacity from the very first one. In fact, I think we went years without an empty seat in classes. During the first 3 years, if you didn't sign up for an online writing class within 5 minutes of registration opening, you didn't get in. And in fact, you were put on a waiting list, and that waiting list was what allowed you to register for the next class. So there was a period of time where you couldn't get in a writing class unless you were on a waiting list from not having gotten in the previous semester. Now, of course, we were only offering a few classes at a time, but for a tiny company where I really wasn't speaking at conventions, I only spoke at CHEO and at a couple local events in Ohio and Michigan. It was kind of remarkable how quickly the word of mouth spread. I was moved by it, you know, inspired by it, shocked by it, really. During that period of time when we were experiencing this immediate rush of good feelings towards Brave Rider, I realized I needed to hire some other teachers. And I remember telling my husband in my very first online class, I think I've identified the first person I want to hire. And he kind of chuckled and said, wow, you really believe in this thing. And I said, well, I know I can't do it alone. I'm going to need to duplicate myself or this company cannot grow. So I hired my first Rachel during the year 2000, and I hired a second Rachel in 2001. I used to call them the two Rachels. I am so grateful for their early energy and their capability. Today, we are up to 30 staff members and over 25 writing coaches. By 2002, I launched our second product, which we called The Arrow. The Arrow was my attempt to create a program that would be the anti-curriculum. You know, aren't you tired of like those big textbook tomes for language arts that just feel heavy in a backpack and look like they are some kind of awful typeface with diagrammed sentences? I mean, I just didn't like any of that. I was a Charlotte Mason mom. I believed in copywork and dictation. I wanted my children to love literature. And so it occurred to me that maybe what was missing was the magazine format. I had been a big fan of Family Fun magazine as a way to get new ideas each month for family fun, for learning, for parties. What if we did that for curriculum? And so I paired a book of the month with instruction around grammar, spelling, punctuation, and the craft of writing, literary devices, the story arc, how you might understand the goals of the writer in a specific passage. Interestingly, we sent it out initially as an email. So the name The Arrow was all about shooting language arts help into your inbox. Over time, we discovered that a PDF file printed much more beautifully, so we redesigned. The first iteration of that product quickly hit 100 subscriptions within the first year, which felt like a mammoth number to me. My goal with The Arrow was to make it easy to pair literature with that Charlotte Mason approach to copywork and dictation. We have a rule in Brave Rider that anything we teach needs to be taught for epiphany. You know, a child who says, aha, I get it. And that's the rubric for how we write all of our products and classes. So as we crafted The Arrow, we started asking ourselves, what is it about this writing that evokes a feeling of connection or surprise or emotion or hunger for the next chapter? And it is that emphasis that for me characterizes everything we do in Brave Rider. I'm not interested in getting through and getting done. I'm interested in getting interested. And that's why I think The Arrow has become so popular. I named this early book companion product The Arrow because I was frankly weary of the names of most programs, grade 6, core 3, stage 5. So I wanted to shoot that language arts help directly into a mother's inbox and brand it with a word that would always remind them that they were in a community of brave writers. The Arrow just seemed to fit that bill. We expanded our class offerings into the high school level in 2003. And so then I wrote another language arts monthly product called The Slingshot. And that was for high school students. By 2005, we added The Boomerang for middle grades. Now, eventually, we retired The Slingshot. And I'm here to tell you, maybe look for a possible reappearance in 2021. But right now, we sell The Arrow and The Boomerang because the largest percentage of homeschooled children are between the ages of 9 and about 13 or 14. And you have made the Arrow our top selling program of all time. So it must have worked for you. And it seems like now we've had this proliferation of monthly products in the homeschool market. I like to think maybe I had something to do with that. I don't know that as a fact. But when I first started, that didn't exist. In 2005, I released my next big program, and it was called Help for High School. Now, my approach to teaching the SA had been immensely helped by being married to John, a literature and composition professor. So I had the opportunity to pore over all of his college freshman textbooks and discuss with him what works and what doesn't, and what colleges were looking for in their newly minted college students. I had my own approach to the essay that I had honed over my lifetime as a writer, but I blended it with my understanding of what colleges and universities were looking for. That combination led to what I still believe is cutting-edge education around academic writing in the world of writing and home education. Because here's the thing, this is my theory. When we learn to write essays, the format is only useful if students first know how to generate insight. But we don't teach that in school. We expect them to sort of already have it or pick it up by osmosis. So in Brave Writer, we start by stirring up the rhetorical imagination so that our teen writers know how to think about an issue, how to evaluate sources, and how to create an interpretation of the ideas they are digesting. Then we can show them the container that houses that argument, which is the essay. When I teach about high school writing in conferences, it's really interesting. It's not uncommon for adults to suddenly grasp the architecture of academic writing that escaped them through all their years of schooling. In fact, I had one man, an adult father, attend one of those lessons while he was writing his PhD dissertation. And he told me after listening to me for an hour, he suddenly understood more about how he was supposed to structure this dissertation than he had in his 16 years of school. Well, more than that, by PhD level, 18, 19 years of schooling. We forget that the purpose of academic writing is to help us organize the insight we generate. It is not a mystery religion. It's something that can be taught and it can be learned, and it is meant to take hold of the imagination of the student, not just drum out dry, regurgitated information from a professor or from a book. We've seen countless students have breakthroughs when they take our classes at all levels, but particularly those who follow our high school program. I mean, routinely, I must get an email or a message in our inbox or Instagram or social media every week from someone thanking us for Brave Writer forming the foundation of the successful writing career of a student in college. In fact, they usually tell us things like, I was the one helping somebody learn how to write thesis statements in my class, or I tested out a freshman comp, or I earned the scholarship to go to college based on the essay I wrote. It's not uncommon at all. And I think it's because it is a unique approach to focus first on insight generation and then the structure of the essay. When I taught at Xavier University here in Cincinnati as an adjunct professor, my colleagues in my department actually had me do a short training on the way I teach writing. And I did it for tenured professors. It's not uncommon for most of the humanities and social sciences to not have students perform with strong writing skills. And that's because this insight generation piece is not taught. Peter Elbow, who is my guru of all writing, he wrote Writing with Power, a seminal work on what it means to teach writing and to foster good writing habits in college-level students, spent his entire career traveling around universities, trying to help professors understand this very important ingredient, which is how do you stir up the imaginative, interpretive mind of a student so that their writing is more than just structured. It is actually revelatory. A new thought, a new interpretation, an idea that breaks through. That's what we're looking for. And I believe Brave Writer just does it really, really well. In 2018, I was awarded Xavier's Alumni Award for outstanding contributions to society for my work with Brave Writer, which frankly blew my mind, totally unanticipated. And I share these details because, well, first of all, it's gratifying, but it's also staggering to me. And maybe it is to you too. My background is not in writing. I have a bachelor's degree in history from UCLA and a master's degree in theology from Xavier University. Now, the ability to write is essential to both degrees. And I believe actually that because I didn't major in English, I bring a unique perspective as a writing coach. I understand what writing is for, which goes well beyond commenting on literature. It's for thinking. It's for interpreting. It's for clarifying what you take away when you learn, for offering your voice to the ongoing project of humankind. So in Brave Writer, everything we do drives to that end. Whether you are learning about how to mix up the elements of a fairy tale and write your own fairy tale as an 8-year-old, reading diverse authorship, distilling the elements of what makes a tale, what makes a climax, what makes a protagonist. When you do all that at age 8, and then you bring your fresh interpretation to that tale, you're doing the academic work expected of you as a junior in college, just at an 8-year-old level. And that's what we do in Brave Writer. I think that's what makes us unique. We hired our first batch of additional teachers as a group in 2011, and I developed a training that has made it possible now for parents who are writers, who are homeschoolers, some of whom have English training, to become the effective writing coaches that I've always fantasized were possible. The work they do is revolutionary. They provide students with a sense of connection, hope, and vision for communicating what they care about, their ideas, their thoughts, their beliefs. I mean, it's completely different than being in an environment that is about evaluating how you fall short. And I am so proud of the staff that we have assembled. We've held 2 staff retreats, and we've had several rounds of hires and trainings for these new coaches. And I'm here to tell you, they're the best in the business. Another feature of the journey of these 20 years is that I launched a podcast, and I did it with my oldest son, Noah, in 2011. It was a blast. We had so much fun together. We didn't know a thing about promoting it. We didn't understand hardly how to upload it correctly to iTunes, but we figured it out. And I discovered through that experience that there was a lot to say about homeschooling, not just about writing, which opened the door for me to start to think about how I could take what I had learned about learning and expand it to include all the subjects and the parent-child relationship. I started to get invitations to conferences and to conventions and felt a little freer to travel because my kids were either grown or almost done with high school. In 2014, I began my experimental project, something I'm very proud of, the Homeschool Alliance. I had been wanting to help parents with homeschooling, not just writing. And I remembered what it felt like to be a homeschooler seeking the kind of support I needed while I figured it out. You know, I didn't like joining communities where you had to already be a believer in the system they were promoting, or your participation was viewed as suspect. I wanted a place for homeschoolers to be welcome as they are, no belief system required, where they could explore together what works for their particular families. This community staggers me. The depth, the heart, the growth, the sheer honesty of their posts is moving. In 5 years' time, we've never had a blow up or a troll or a sense of abandoning someone or mistreating someone. In 5 years, we've accumulated resources related to both learning all the subject areas and personal development, whether it's as a professional educator, which you all are, or as a parent, or even as an awesome adult, a person who deserves to lead a wonderful life because of who you are, not living as a martyr, not sacrificing yourself on the altar of taking care of other people. I believe it's possible for the intersection of those three roles to be healthy and satisfying and nurturing to you. And that's what the Homeschool Alliance is all about. It has steadily grown in stature each year. There's a massive archive, or what we call a library, of valuable tools for personal and professional development. Of course, if you haven't checked it out, you really should, because it's just awesome. It's my favorite thing. But truly, that is one of those amazing milestones in the journey of Brave Rider that I didn't see coming early on that makes me so happy now. In 2016, a strange new online phenomenon occurred. Live stream broadcasting leapt into view via Periscope, and a Brave Rider fan invited me to learn how to use Periscope, which was so thoughtful and awesome. And suddenly, I found a way to connect directly with the Brave Rider audience, which was awesome because I used to feel like I just wanted to talk to everyone. And I knew I couldn't travel enough to make that happen. Periscope caused our Facebook page to explode. We launched a Facebook group for the community, which is over 13,000 strong today. And we have a YouTube channel with all the replays and over 9,000 subscribers. We've now held 4 retreats and conferences of our own for Brave Rider fans, 3 in Cincinnati and 1 in Austin, Texas, which I attended by the power of Zoom broadcasting because I was laid up with a broken ankle in Ohio. Oh, man. Perhaps the biggest lesson, though, in all this growth is how I had to go from accidental entrepreneur to CEO of a full-fledged company. And let me tell you, that journey has been so life-giving, challenging, personal growth developing. I never knew what was in store for me when I started that little email list, you know, online writing class all the way back in January 2000. In 2017, I attended a 2-day seminar called The Course for Presidents, where I learned all that I didn't know that I didn't know about how to hire, how to write contracts, how to set employee standards, how to keep clean books, how to build a vision worthy of the dedication of your team, how to grow without losing your soul, and how to plan for the future. That course was invaluable to me, but I didn't understand a tenth of it at the time. Lucky for me, they assigned me this wonderful business consultant, and he has been the difference. I had begun to feel over my skis. There's nothing quite like realizing that the people who've honored you by choosing to work on your vision now also rely on you for paychecks from your company. And those paychecks pay things like mortgages and rent. Suddenly, it wasn't just me earning some side money to pay for lacrosse. I was supporting a team of people and their livelihood. It gets really real at that point in the project. And that's when I discovered that what I was doing wasn't just about putting good out into the world, but also honoring the investment others had chosen to make with me. The guiding principles I learned from that experience and that my advisor has reinforced have helped me stay sane in a very challenging world of work. You probably don't know this about me, but I've never been on a job interview, let alone worked in a company. So I was fully unprepared for what that entails. And I've had to learn on the job. The biggest challenge was navigating the shift in how the company was organized. Originally, I had myself and Cindy, she worked as a part-time staff member, and a few part-time online teachers. By 2013, I asked Cindy to come on full-time, and she did. And I invited a few of my friends who I respected and admired to work with me as well. Several of my favorite people in the whole world joined the team, and I was so grateful. I often told them that I felt as though I was paying my friends to do me favors, because that's kind of how it feels at the beginning of a business, at the beginning of a company. It was difficult to think about what it meant to lead a company or to hold a vision and to craft the steps that the team would take that would cause Brave Rider to flourish. Eventually, it became clear I needed team leaders, people who would own aspects of my vision as their own, which of course meant I had to find people I could trust to create, direct, and lead, not just implement my ideas. I'm incredibly lucky to have repeatedly worked with people just like that, and my current directors are exceptional. They bring extraordinary talent and a commitment to a shared vision of what Brave Rider can achieve. And you know how you know that you've been successful? It's when your staff members and customers have favorite people in the organization that aren't you. And that is routinely my experience now with Brave Rider. In 2017, I took a personal risk. I booked a flight to New York City. I booked a very nice room in the Hilton. And I attended a Writer's Digest conference at my mom's suggestion. I had this inkling of a book I had been wanting to write, and I kept putting off finding an agent because, you know, the fear of complete fraud. You run a writing company and maybe nobody will want to buy your great book idea. Wouldn't that be a horrible feeling? It's always been one of those little background nagging thoughts. What if I couldn't get published? So I put on my big girl pants and I went to New York and I looked for an agent. The top agent I wanted for my book chose me. And then she took my book all to the different publishers in New York and landed a book sale with the top publisher, Penguin Random House. Tarcher Perigee is the imprint, which I absolutely adore. Fabulous group of people. Wonderful line of books. And thus began the happiest publishing journey I could ever imagine. My book was published in February of 2019 and has exceeded all of our sales goals. It smashed them, actually. And we even made the Publisher's Weekly bestsellers list in my very first week out. That blew me away. And that is all because of people like you reading it, sharing it, and letting me know that the content was valuable to you. I only want to write books that people want to read. I don't just want people to buy my book. I want them to read it and engage the ideas. So thank you for that. The next stage of growth then for Brave Rider is to keep all this good stuff going. It's to expand our reach, to make our products more intuitive. We hear you. We're going through some wonderful iterating of how our products serve our audience right now. We started with the arrow and the boomerang, adding these, weekly planners and progress skills trackers that have just transformed how people feel about using those products. And you can expect more development in that very direction over the coming years. My goal is to bring cutting-edge education tactics and techniques to the homeschool space and beyond. And I really hope Brave Rider outlives me. We are building a company whose potential should exceed my limited skill set. That's what I'm excited about. So as we close out these two decades of Brave Rider, here's what strikes me. The power of a good idea. The power of a good idea. And then finding the people who have the heart to help it come to life, to make it accessible to others. There have been countless people who've contributed to Brave Rider. They've come, they've gone, they've stayed for a little while, they've made their mark. And then some who are currently invested deeply, who will be with us for a long time. And then people like Cindy, who started with me and I'm sure will end with me. Thank you for all the ways you've shared our work out in the world and helped Brave Rider find its people Thank you for trusting us with your children, with your heartfelt needs. And thank you for taking the time to repeatedly tell me and the team how our work makes your life better. I can't even begin to express how your thousands of emails and reviews and personal messages and packages and cards and gifts have helped us sustain the energy through the hard spaces to keep going. 2020, 20 years, from the bottom of my heart, thank you for celebrating with us. Stay tuned for more podcasts coming down the pike. We also have so many celebrations and fun things planned for this year. So stick around, Brave Writer. Follow me on Instagram, Julie Brave Writer. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter and Pinterest. Read our blog, listen to our podcast, go to our YouTube channel. We have so much content for you. And then if you have that inkling, I want a product, I need a class, reach out to us. Our email address is help@bravewriter.com. Trained, warm staff members are there to help you design the exact right program for you and your kids. We can't wait to help you. I hope to see some of you join the Homeschool Alliance. That's where the deep work happens, and it is a moving experience to be a part of that in your life. So join me in wishing everyone associated with Brave Writer a happy 20th anniversary. Keep going. I'm rooting for you. You've been listening to me, Julie Bogart, from Brave Writer.